We're starting at Good Friday. And we have a depiction on the front of the church here, which has a cross. But it's not the full picture of the crucifixion. I want you to shout out for me. Let's start with the kids. What is missing in this picture that would be in the Bible account? Give me something. Jesus is missing. Good. Anything else missing? At the back there. The other two crosses. Thank you. Got something else coming, brewing. Yeah, go on. The crown of thorns on Jesus. Yeah, that's very good. Very good team down here. Bev, anything else down there? Nails. Nails, okay, very good. So I want to focus today on the crosses which are lacking. We've got one, but there's how many missing? Two missing. So I need some help to put the other two crosses. Jack, you got your hand up? Yeah, you guys, all three. Okay, come on, all three. You can help me. I do need quite a bit of help today. Right. Right, guys, you've got to hold this for me, all right? Dougie, I need you to pass me. Okay, I've got a big team of helpers. Thank you. Yeah. I was going to go for a big ladder right to the top there, but my wife Monica said, Andrew, you're going to kill yourself. That is not appropriate. So, okay, now I need you to step down for me. I need you to hold this. Dougie, okay, could you come round this side? Yeah, okay, you can wait. Just come round. Come round and hold that there for me. Hold that. Right, Dougie, thank you. Okay, yeah, you hold on to that one for me a minute. So, there's another cross in the picture in the Bible. Oh my gosh. Hold that tight. Right. Another cross. Now, you adults can be thinking, well, I've got the team at work. Why is there three crosses in the biblical events and what's depicted from the eyewitnesses? Why three crosses? I'll come back to you. Oh, we've got an idea over there. Okay. Right, we've got to move this across now. Keep going. No, you can't. Not today. No, because your mums won't let you. Right. Okay. Okay. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, guys. Let go. I can't lift you up as well. Are you thinking, adults? Oh, hang on. I can try and climb up a bit further. Oh. Hold on there. Right. Okay. I'm listening a bit of blue tack. Can I have that blue tack? Jack, pass me the blue tack. Anybody got it?
I have a blue and green thing.
You got what?
I have a blue and green thing, but not
blue. Oh. Oh, dear. Oh, no.
It's
going
to be half hanging.
Is there any blue tack on the floor? No, hang on. Hold on. I hope you're thinking, folks. Hang on. Right, you hold that for me. Right, okay. Right, because I need some more blue tack, that's why. They're all waiting for us. Oh. Hold that, Jack. Keep holding it. Nobody panic. Oh. Okay, I'm nearly there. Okay. Give me the blue tack, Jack. Okay, everybody take a seat. You'll be using it again in a minute. Okay, take a seat. Thank you. What a team. Thank you. It was not easy putting up those crosses back in the day. Okay. Why was there three crosses? Any ideas? Come on, Dougie.
Because there were two thieves.
Two thieves, yeah. What's your name? Elliot, what's your thinking? For their wrongdoing. Okay. It's a good point. There's three people on crosses. One good, two bad, one becomes good. 2 points I want to pull out for you here. Jesus was always in community. And he was often in community with people who are bad. And he's bringing them salvation, the good news of the gospel. He didn't go to the nice people, the well-off people, the comfortable people, the well-dressed. He went to those really in need. He went to the outcasts. And doesn't get more outcasts than people being crucified. And Jesus is in the middle of it. It's a big sign for us. There's also another big sign. Because on this cross, with these criminals, Jesus is in the middle. And the scripture tells us that when we realize who Jesus is, we realize that there's a decision to be made. Diana talked about that in her message. You're either going to go for one side or the other side. Let's listen to the Bible's account of what was said on the cross with the criminals. Criminal A, we'll call him. He's on the cross. Jesus is in the middle. And it says that this criminal hurled insults towards Jesus. Now, he didn't actually throw something, it's his words. And his words can be very painful, can't they? These are painful words that he throws towards Jesus. He says this, "Aren't you the Messiah? Well, save yourself then." It's sarcastic, it's nasty. And he said lots of other nasty things. Criminal A, on the cross. This side, criminal B. This criminal rebukes, criminal B rebukes, that says, tells off this one. And it says this, "Don't you fear God?" Then he said, "Don't you realize that we're on the same punishment, all three of us? But Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. We have, and we know it. But we also know Jesus hasn't, but he's here with us. He doesn't deserve this. He's done nothing wrong." And then criminal B says to Jesus, hanging on a cross here, remember they're going to be dead in a few hours. He says, "Remember me, Jesus, when you go into your kingdom, when you step into heaven, remember me." And Jesus answers this one, criminal B. And Jesus says to him, "You know this? Truly, I tell you this, truly, this is truth, what I'm going to tell you now. Today, you will be with me in heaven." Too good. So one good, two bad, one becomes good because of Jesus. Let's pause. Press the pause button there for a minute. You see, this criminal, criminal B, has said yes to Jesus. But he had very little knowledge of Jesus, really. He'd done nothing to earn to get into heaven. Quite the opposite, actually. He hasn't done any special prayer or particular ritual. He's on a cross. He's about to die. But he says yes to Jesus in faith, confident of who Jesus is, even though he's dying on a cross. That's amazing. The other criminal continues to throw insults at Jesus. And when that criminal died, he remained separated from Jesus just as he wanted, but that's a hell of a place to be, anywhere where Jesus is not. Criminal B, that very day, was with Jesus. And you might say to yourself, well, what purpose was his life? We're doing purpose-driven life. Where was his purpose in this guy's life? What did he achieve? What did he do? What he did was say yes to Jesus, start a relationship. And that's the key, the relationship with Jesus, not what you do. And incidentally, we're talking about this fella 2,000 years later. This picture is all about what the big challenge is for every person in the last 2,000 years. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on today? It's a very big question. A few hours later, it looks like Jesus is dead. And in John 19, verse 34, one of the eyewitnesses says, I saw this soldier with a spear, and to make sure Jesus was really dead, stabs Jesus in the side. And he said, I saw blood and water flowing out of him. Jesus was dead. The Jesus followers, how do you think they felt in this moment? They're very sad. They're crying. They're traumatized. And all their hope is gone. There is no hope. This is the Messiah. The Messiah is dead. Obviously dead. On a cross. In the most cruel and horrible way to die. I need help again from the kids. Can you come forward? All of you came before, you can. And if you've got more volunteers, I can deal with that. Because on this day, on Good Friday, when Jesus died, it says that the clouds came over and it was dark around the whole area. You couldn't see anything. It was really dark. So I want you to hold this and have the dark on the bottom. All right? That, hold that out of that. All right, each corner. So let's have a corner each. Have a corner. You have that corner then, Dougie. Let's swap it around like that. So you go that side, Dougie. All right, let go that way. Okay, okay. And then we need you to hold this side. And you need to hold it as high as you can. Do you want to come round and hold that one? You're coming as well. Okay. Lift it up. Right. Now, what I want you to do, I'm going to show you. Now, you've got to watch out now. All right. You've got to be careful. We're going to go round as if the cloud is round the church hall. Okay. So let's go. Okay. But you've got to lift it high because it's got to go for people's heads. Now, Dougie, go through there. Step down carefully. Take your time. No rush. Okay, keep going. Keep moving. Step down. Step down carefully. Now go straight down to where Trevor is. Go to where Trevor is there. Can you see Trevor? There's Trevor. He raises his hand. Then I want you to do a circle round. Go past Paul. Go past Monica. Come down the side. Okay, but lift it high up. Lift it high up, spread it out nicely. This is a deep, dark cloud coming through. Okay, keep going. That's good. It's Friday. The sky has grown dark. The earth trembles. And Jesus, who knew no sin, completely sinless, became sin for each one of us. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on a cross. People are weeping, but other people are celebrating and rejoicing. They think it's good. But that's because it's Friday and Sunday has not yet come. Well done, team. Thank you very much. That's it. You've done the job. You've done the job. Now you can go and take your seats again. I'll call on you later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. It's a Friday, and you've just got your exam results from school, and they're not what you'd hoped for. The good news is, though, Sunday is coming. It's Friday, Sunday is coming. I want you to say that with me. It's Friday, Sunday is coming. You've just had a phone call from the nurse at the doctor's, and they don't like your blood results, and you've got to go and see the doctor fast. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Try again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You live in a care home. You've just got the latest bill, and you're not sure you can afford it. You are feeling super nervous because it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You can add in any sort of Friday, but with Jesus, there's a Sunday coming. Just as on a dull day in spring, when it's raining, you can know for sure that an irresistible, unstoppable summer is to come. You might be on Friday, but with Jesus, Sunday is coming. Diana talked about dark valleys, difficult situations she went through, but God pulls her through because God promises his presence with us when we know him. One of our family's favorite songs has the key words are Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, God is with you wherever you go. And we sing that loud and proud and open the windows and frighten people as they walk along. It's what keeps us happy. But it's a very important principle. We looked at it in the Purpose Driven Life series, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good for those who love and put their faith in him. Now, just think about it. It's Friday. The disciples are distraught. If you said to them, Sunday's coming, they'd say to you, nonsense. This is a disaster. Or logic says it's a disaster. We can see it's a disaster. There is no hope. And maybe you're feeling that this morning. Maybe that's your reality. But the promise of the cross is that there is hope, no matter what your situation. Because Sunday's coming. After 3 hours, the cloud lifted. They took Jesus' body from a cross, from the cross. I want 2 volunteers this time. Okay, guys, you 3 volunteers. Come on with me. They took his body from the cross. Come over here, troops. Now, I want you to carry, imagine this is Jesus, and I want you to carry this body, all right, there. You hold it there. That's it. Now we're going to take it over to the communion table there. And they took it very carefully to a tomb where no body had ever laid. So we're going to lay that. Well done. You did very well holding the body up there. Now let's put the body on there like that. That's fantastic. Good. And they lay his body, dead body, in a tomb. But it's Friday. Sunday's coming. Thank you, guys. We're now jumping to Sunday morning. It's Sunday has come. A few women followers of Jesus venture to the tomb. They discover that the stone has been rolled from the tomb. They look inside the tomb and discover that there is nobody there. Just the cloths that once held his body. And they're obviously alarmed and fearful and worried. They step out, and Luke records how that there was 2 angels there. waiting for them. And their clothes were shining white like lightning, is the description given. And so the women obviously are terrified and they bow down on their knees. But the angels say to them, wait, why are you here? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? If they were going on with that story, they might have said, don't you remember that what Jesus said? Don't you remember that Jesus said he would sacrifice his life for a once for all sacrifice for all time for all people? That whoever believes on him has life today and life forever. But in that moment, you die to yourself and ask him into your life. And then, as was said earlier by Diana, he molds and guides and directs your life from there. And it goes in directions you never have thought. There was no hope for Diana. She really wanted a career in nursing. No chance, no chance, no chance. Then it happens. When she trusts and faith, God's got this. Mary Magdalene listens to what the angel says and then steps away with her thoughts, trying to piece it all together. And when she's doing that, with tears rolling down her eyes, she sees a gardener coming towards her. And then the gardener says, Mary. And when the gardener says Mary, she realizes that it is Jesus. And Jesus says to her, the risen Jesus. Remember, it's Sunday. Says to her, go and tell the disciples, I'm alive. Mary and the others, other women, they rush off hot-footed to where the disciples are in hiding. Why are they in hiding? Because it's Friday for them, and they're still in Friday, even though it's Sunday. And they tell the disciples the wonderful news. And the disciples think about it for about 5 nanoseconds, and they say to the women, you are talking nonsense. It isn't true. It can't be true. That's impossible. Now go and have a cup of Horlicks and get yourself sorted. I'm going to jump now. Time is going on. It's the afternoon of Sunday. There's two people walking along a road to a place called Emmaus where they live, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. They are walking with the cloud of Friday still upon them. They didn't realize it was Sunday. And then this other fellow comes along with them and starts walking with them and talking with them. And when they get back to Emmaus, they say to this new chap that they've met, they say, come in and have a meal with us. At the meal table, in this community of three, Jesus in the middle, he breaks bread. It's the word used for holy, we use like Holy Communion or the sacrament or Eucharist. He breaks bread, and then they recognize it's Jesus. Jesus is alive. The adrenaline shoots through their bodies. Jesus disappears. They disappear back to Jerusalem and they hot-foot it back. They get to see the disciples and where they're all huddled up and they're beginning to find out more and more news coming in that Jesus may be alive. They're starting to transition towards Sunday. And then, when they're all together, suddenly Jesus is amongst them. He appears to them, stretches out his hands. You can see where the injuries are. It's definitely Jesus. And Jesus says, peace be with you. Jesus said, peace be with you. It's no ordinary peace. It's a supernatural peace that Jesus was offering them. A peace that calmed Jesus' nerves when he's falsely accused. It's a peace that was able to stabilize his voice when speaking to Pilate. It's a peace that kept his thoughts pure when he's hanging on a cross and he's the innocent victim. And today, Jesus offers you his peace out of his love from his sacrifice and says, receive my peace. Receive my love. Please follow the way of this person rather than this person. And it's each of our choices, our decision. What are we going to choose? What are we going to choose?